Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was talking to my friend Ben about this week's gospel lesson, and I asked him if he had any insights for me. Ben's wife is going to have a baby any day now, so I thought he might have something to share about Joseph's side of the story of Matthew. He hesitated a moment before saying, "I actually think with this whole birth-giving thing, it's probably best for the men to stay out of the way and keep our mouths shut." Perhaps it was Ben's response that led me to think this is a funny little story to have here in the midst of the narrative of Jesus' birth. Matthew is the only gospel that gives us this little extra story about Joseph. In Luke, Joseph gets a name drop, but that's it. The focus of the story that we heard last week is very much on Mary. John and Mark don't have a birth narrative at all. But in Matthew, we get to see things through the lens of Joseph. I'm glad that Mary is the center of these stories in the gospel. I think my friend Ben is mostly right. But I'm also grateful for what's preserved here about Joseph, so often on the sidelines of the Christmas story, a bit out of place among angels and shepherds and magi and pronouncements of the Messiah coming to earth. There's a lot that the narrator packs into the story that we heard today. Just before the story, you may remember, or not, that we have the begats. Do you know the begats? Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judah, etc., etc. Those are the begats. All the way down to Joseph, who begat Jesus. Matthew wants us to hear in this that Jesus is the expected Jewish Messiah, a son of David. The prophecy is fulfilled. In this, we're meant to see this miraculous parentage of God, that God and not a human being, is the father of Jesus. Jesus is God in flesh, making a tent among us here on earth. We are meant to hear in the name of that Joseph passes on to Jesus Emmanuel, that God is with us. It's a name given by an angel announced from heaven. This story will be about one who comes to redeem a people, to set free from sickness and the brokenness of sin and death that has plagued creation. Jesus is coming. And there in the background, waving sheepishly and awkwardly in a corner, is Joseph. I'm glad Joseph is in the wings with these few precious verses devoted to his presence in the story. I'm grateful in the midst of a season that focuses on childbirth, of an infant in a stable, nursing at his mother's breast, that in the midst of this story, we take a minute to hear about an adoption. It isn't unusual for me to hear that Christmas can be a season of grief or even trauma for people who struggle with infertility or childbearing decisions. It seems like this whole season centers around a predictable pattern of family making that's painfully out of reach for some people. It's a pain that is often silent and hidden away, even in our churches. But today we make space for Joseph, for the adopted parent of Jesus. Like a lot of adoptions, there is a tremendous amount of upending expectations and timelines in this story. Every adopted parent I know shares with me the complication of knowing that their great joy, the greatest joy of their life, emerges from the tragedy of someone else's life. They have to hold those truths together. They're never resolved. I suspect that, like most Jewish families in the ancient world, Joseph expected to have children. He didn't expect a nighttime visit from an angel who announced that the baby born to Mary and him would be a child of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, Joseph is going to be a parent. I love looking back at the genealogy chapter, at all those begats, and how they affirm something every adopted parent knows. that love makes a family. Joseph, we're meant to see, has no genetic link to Jesus. Matthew wants us to make sure we know that. And yet there is quite a bit of effort put into showing that Jesus is the true son of Joseph, to tie him to the family tree of his adopted father. Joseph's child, Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is the heir to his line. He carries on Joseph's line. Without hesitation or hedging, Jesus becomes a part of Joseph's story. He becomes the inheritor and adopted child of the whole line of God's promises. Each time I hear a story of adoption, it reminds me of this moment of Joseph and the angel. The surprise, the timeline one didn't expect, the readjustment to the news of a coming child, the decision to move yes for an unknown joy, and so much sorrow that comes with any child being welcomed into our lives. So I wanted to share one of these stories, this one from Pastor Alexander Hendrickson, who shared her Joseph story. 4 years ago, Brett and I were in the midst of our new baby excitement, but we weren't in a hospital room or even a stable. We were on an airplane. Thomas was not born on an airplane, though he would probably think that is very cool if it were true. We were in fact flying to Guatemala to meet our son for the first time and complete the paperwork to finalize his adoption. It was a few days before Christmas, and the 747 we boarded from Houston was beyond crowded. The plane was overbooked. Everyone attempting to travel to Central America was in line to get on our plane. Christmas packages, luggage, food, noise, crying children, boisterous, excited adults, all of us were in this congested aisle of Continental Flight 463 from Houston to Guatemala City. But amid all the chaos, I felt apart from the crowd, like my heart was in my throat. I couldn't believe that I was going to meet my son for the first time in just a few hours. I sat in my seat closest to the aisle, trying to breathe and not cry. And then suddenly I was crying, and not from deep emotion, but from pain. A man attempting to maneuver a giant duffel bag up the aisle of the plane managed to whack me upside the head. I found myself instantly surrounded by flight attendants who decided she wanted to remove me from the plane to have me seek medical attention. But I was not going to get off that plane. We had our baby to meet for the first time after waiting so long for him. I was not going to take another flight. With an improvised ice pack against my head, I went forth to become a mother. Later that day, Brett and I stepped into the elevator of our hotel, and I held my sleeping son in my arms. The inside walls of the elevator were mirrored on all sides, so we were alone as a family for the first time, and we looked at the image of the three of us, reproduced via infinite reflection. That image will stay with me for the rest of my life. Like Thomas, Alexander's baby, Jesus' story is one of adoption. But here's something else. So is our story as Christians. We were destined for adoption as God's children through Jesus Christ. That's how the letter of Ephesians talks about us, Gentile Christians, who also get to be a part of God's family. Adoption is the normal story in the Bible. It's the story of each of us. We, by an act of decision, by an act of hospitality, an act of love that came over only after great brokenness and crisis, we become a part of God's family. We're adopted in, brought into the line of God's love, going back to the beginning of time. We are truly God's children, once and for all, because love makes a family. And so this Advent season of waiting and hoping, I have adoption on my mind. The administrator at my kid's school, he and his husband are in the process of adoption through the foster care system. And for the past few months, I've checked on him as I drop off a forgotten lunchbox or sign out a sick child. A few weeks ago, I walked into the school to see him looking tired and happy. they'd had their first overnight with the boys, their first weekend together. But because of paperwork and the process of adoption still unfolding, the brothers had to return to their foster parents in Greensboro for a couple more weeks. After the boys left for the day, Michael told me that he and his husband collapsed into a chair, weary and happy. But Michael told me that Monday morning, they woke up weeping. They missed their children. These fathers missed their baby boys. Michael's eyes filled as he told me this story. And it was in that moment that I saw the face of Joseph, also the face of God, the face of the adopting father who, by a miracle of grace, fully in the face of pain and suffering that brought that possibility to be, has love dripping down his cheeks.